Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I am your host, your coach, your teacher, Dave Sullivan. And next to me is John DeLaurier from, I almost said DeLaurier Roofing, Peach State Roofing. What's up, John? How are you?
It's a good day at Peach State.
Peach State.
Your roof could be so sweet? We're playing with ideas.
I like it. What else you got? You got something else on that? That's a good tagline. I'd go with that.
I think Chris DeRoll said, "Who knew roofing could be so sweet?" That's what it is. Yeah, that's what the bottom of our little tagline says. So go make some t-shirts.
Nice. I like it. Okay. Well, today we got a great show because we have a new year and it is time to get down to business because we have to have our annual business plan. If you don't have a business plan, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. You need to have this thing dialed in. And most contractors that I have worked with, they just don't have a plan and they don't think about it. So they just kind of wander. They're not really going in a particular direction. So we are big ones for planning and seeing all this, you know, contractors, they don't know how to get started. They don't really know what they should be doing. So we came up with this very, very simple download that we have on our website at theroofershow.com. You can pick this up for free, but it's called the one-page business plan. And this really came out of our process. We have always done business plans for, you know, years and years, and had a consultant that came in each year, and we would do our business plan. We'd go away on a retreat, be a big deal, and really kind of go through these, all of these various things. And I came up with the one-page business plan because it really makes things simple. Because what's important is not necessarily the plan, but it's the process of planning, of going through these things and seeing, you know, talking them through and where we have the problems, you know, where opportunities may lie. And that's what we're going to get into today because I, on episode number 360, this is a few weeks ago, check this out, but I covered the top 10 mistakes roofers made in 2023. And I do this each year. So each year I go back and look at what I had the year before. And, you know, it's pretty much pretty damn much the same thing over and over again. So instead of reinventing the wheel, I just played our old episode and it just, I mean, it was pretty much right on. So go back and check out that show and you can see the top 10 mistakes that roofing contractors made that we saw. But I said, you know, this is kind of a negative show to end the year with. And I want to get into something more positive, but you've got to start with the reality. We have to do a post-mortem of the previous year. And we have to have honest feedback of what really happened and what the mistakes were. So go back and check this out. But today we're going to go through our one-page business plan and we're going to set this up. It's really simple and, you know, really take you, well, you can buzz through it, you know, in a couple hours, but you should spend some time on really thinking about the questions because we ask the questions, you write down the answers. It's a simple one page. So check that out. But John, you've been doing this for a few years, more than a few years. What do you think of the plan and what would our listeners gain from doing this themselves?
I mean, I think it's just so important to know where you were and where you want to be. And if you don't write it down, and I think there is a psychological commitment whenever you write it down, for real, like you can type it out too, but if you put it down so that you're trying to hit a goal, there's something to to live for and something to fail at. There's something to win at as well. So I think that it's important for any goal. You should have goals as an entrepreneur. You should have them. And you should understand your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You should understand those every year. Definitely be doing this at least once a year, if not twice a year. Just because the way this business is that you can change rapidly. You can have some really big challenges and you can have some really big opportunities. Like, okay, here's an example, a $700,000 apartment complex. Well, that's going to massively change our goals if we sell that in the next 30 or 45 days. So you need to constantly be aware of like what could happen and what may happen in the future. So yeah, it's kind of business ownership 101. You just need to take the time to do it.
And through this process, this is what you say, it's constantly changing and you have to be adaptable to this change. As you know, Mike Tyson, boxer, said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Okay. Things change. So you got to be ready for that, but you've got to have this plan. And what I found was one of the biggest benefits was showing leadership to your team, because they want to work for a winner. They want to work for somebody that knows where the hell they're going and what they're doing. And the idea is, hey, you see that mountain over there? I'm going to take you to the top of the mountain, guys. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to show you how we're going to avoid all these missteps and screw-ups. And we're going to get there in the fastest, quickest way that we can. And that's what this is about. That's what planning does for you. And you can roll this out to your team. And this is what we did. We went out for our retreat over a weekend and really went through this, put it together. We all agreed on it. We all bought into it. There was accountability. And what's important when you're laying this out is, one, is to break down the tasks that are involved with this project that you're doing, for instance. An example would be, let's start a maintenance side of the business, maintenance department. So there's a lot of things involved with that. It's, you know, a lot of steps. So we have to lay out the steps. Then we're going to assign the steps. Who's going to handle it? Who's going to be responsible for it? And just as important, when is it going to get done? Or what points do we need to check in, report back, so forth? And what's it going to look like when we're finished? This is what we're going to get out of it. And that's what this planning does. So we come out of that. Everybody's bought into it. They're going to be held accountable by everyone. But we are able to present this. And we had a big, you know, company meeting, quite a few employees, a little under 100. So this rollout of the plan each year was a big deal. And we made it a big deal. It was, big party, big production, and so forth. But it really made a difference because, as I say, your team wants to work for a winner, somebody that knows what they're doing. You think about a football coach, for instance. They want to come out and, know that you got a game plan. And as we know, everything's going to change. Come back halftime, whoa, what the hell happened there? So we're going to have to change the plan. But anyway, this is the idea. Anything to add to that, John, before we just jump in? And I want to hear about your plan, what you got going.
No, let's get into it.
Support for the Roofer Coach podcast comes from Ruby, the number one customer communication solution for growing roofing businesses. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new customer intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. For more information, visit get.ruby.com/theroofercoach for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you powered by Ruby.
I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They provide a fantastic service that so many contractors need. We're talking about giving you an inside salesperson to prep estimates, follow up with customers, and even help manage your schedule, all without the headache of hiring and training. Or fill in the operations gap to ensure that jobs are scheduled and permits are pulled, and walk your customer through that five-star experience and even get that five-star review. SMA Support handles all the behind-the-scenes work so you can focus on what you do best. Imagine your roofing business with no more dropped balls and don't have tasks falling through the cracks. So check out SMA Support at smasupport.us. And tell them Dave sent you. Okay, and I'm going to make this short, sweet, focused, to the point, and you let me know if I'm getting off into the weeds. But the first thing that we've got to do is we always start at the end. Now, what does that mean? We have to have a destination that we're heading to. Let's say we've got we're heading to New York on a road trip from the West Coast. And we have to know what's involved with that, because we don't want to run out of gas. We're going to know where we're going to stop and so forth. So we've got to put a plan together. But we know our end destination is New York. That's our goal. So we can come back and build us a roadmap to get there. But when thinking about this, and this is really involves some deep thought, which is your why. Why am I doing this? And that's the question I always ask contractors. It's like, why are you doing this? Why do you want to be a contractor? Why do you want to be in business? And half the time, I will spend the time to talk them out of going into business. I say, you know, I don't know if you're really cut out for this, if you really have the entrepreneurial skills, the commitment. But we've got to decide that. We've got to understand where we're going, why we're doing this. And it's got to be a realistic goal. And this is something that, you know, down the end of this could be the end of the line. What's my exit going to be? What's my strategy? How am I going to sell my company, for instance? But then we've got shorter goals. And so, you know, we start off with, you know, what's going to happen in the next 2 years? Because things are going to change a lot. All right, well, let's get started on this. And we've got an 8-step process. And the first step is the end. And we always start at the end. We need to know where we're going, because if we don't know where we're going, any road will take us there. It doesn't matter. So we want to have a destination. And what we mean by that, what's going to be your last day of work, for instance, okay? Where are you headed? What is going to be your exit strategy? What is it that you want to do? What do you want this business to do for you? And we can break it up. That's the long term, the very long term. But then we got to break it down into short term pieces and really, you know, it's going to happen over the next 2 years, 5 years. 5 years is a long time. A lot of things are going to change. So we do this plan each year. We reevaluate, because I think, John, both of us have been in business for quite a while. So it's constantly changing. So I think it's important to reevaluate your destination, because we have to have a destination, because we know where we're going, and then we can come back and reverse engineer a roadmap to get us there. But we have to start with our why. Why are we doing this? Why do we want to go there? And, you know, that's got to be clear, and you've really got to flesh that out, because most contractors that I work, you know, they come in and, well, I want to do $10 million. Well, why do you want to do that? Well, I don't know. I want to have a big company. Well, what are you doing now? I'm doing $2 million. You making money? No, you're not going to make money at $10 million. You're just going to lose it faster. So let's talk about starting at the end, our why, and our destination, and let's build a roadmap to get us there. John, why the hell are you doing this?
Yeah, I ask myself that question a lot. Many days I say, what am I doing? I do it because I do, from a professional standpoint, there is a really good opportunity for someone who really cares about the customer experience. And we provide that. We provide a high level of customer experience. We install the best roof systems. We know we're going to do the right thing. And it's very, very, in almost 8 years, it has not changed. There is the majority of roofing companies, contractors, whatever you want to call them out there, are not doing a good job. They do not care about their reputation. They don't care about the customer experience. We're going to fix. I looked at a roof yesterday, this morning, and I'm looking at another one tomorrow. The shingles, and Cameron looked at one yesterday as well. Shingles are brand new. And the roof is leaking in five spots. And it's just constant. We just constantly do that. So the why for me, from a professional standpoint, is that the personal side is I like the freedom that I have. If I set up the systems and processes in place, it's not always like this, but I have a lot of free time to spend with my family. I get to have experiences that a lot of people who work a typical 9-to-5 will never have. And then financially, yeah, there's huge opportunities. I can make a really, really good living, and I control my destiny financially. If I work harder, I can make more money. So that's my why in 2024. I want to really focus on the customer experience. I love building this business, and I love spending time with my family, and I love the opportunity to make a significant financial living.
But what about all these seminars and all the classes and how to scale your business 10X, 20X, 30X? Isn't that what your goal is?
My goal has shifted over the time. It does take actual revenue growth, but I just consistently see year after year, people that are still focused on revenue and not on gross profit. It's just crazy to me. Why would you do twice as much work? Sometimes our margins are sometimes 3.5 or 4 times more than our competitors, our profit margins. So we literally have to do a third less work than they do to make the same dollars. Why would you do that? Why would you work 3 times as hard just to make the same money? So yeah, from the dollar standpoint, we're going to do really, really excellent work, and we're going to charge our customers for that excellent service that we provide.
Revenue kills, profit thrills.
My favorite one so far.
I like that. But I think you're right, you know, and that's why you have to be clear. You want to spend time with your family and you want to 10X your business. You ain't going to be spending any time with your family. You're going to be working your ass off. And it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be very stressful. There's just so much to it. And I was the same way as you, John. I mean, I had 3 boys and I wanted to watch them grow up. I wanted to be able to spend time with them, their school and so forth. And I wanted to travel. That was my why. And I needed to have a business that I could build, and it didn't rely on me on the day-to-day and the day-to-day grind. So we had to build. That was my destination. That was my goal, which means you've got to build a business that does not rely on yourself. So that was my why. I did it. I built it out strategically and every step of the way. And if you don't, you're not going to achieve that goal. Like most contractors, you know, just wearing all the hats, I'm working weekends and just spinning around, putting out fires, you know, and then another year goes by, and another year, and another year. And here you are doing this. You have not built a business. You got a job, and you're killing yourself. So this is what this planning is all about. This is why we do this each year. So we got really this simple plan. It's not about really putting a budget together. That's another topic. But this is really just taking the basic look at the structure of your business. So our first step was our end, being clear, having clarity. But our second step we call the customer. And that is the what, who, where, and why. And what we mean by that is really focusing down on what it is and who you want to work for. And we start with the what. What is it that we're going to do? What are we going to build? And that may sound simple, but I know too many contractors that do, you know, they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing decks, they're doing all kinds of things. And when we really dig into this and find out where they're making their money, spending their time, you'll always find that there's one or two areas that where they're losing money. And I experienced this in my business. We did residential, we did commercial, we did anything, dog houses. And it wasn't until I brought in a coach, a consultant, and that was the first question he asked me. What is it that you do? Well, do roofing. Well, no, we did residential and we did commercial. Those are two separate profit centers. And in my case, one of them was a loss center, not a profit center. And that was residential roofing. We were just not good at it and we lost money. I didn't know it, but when we examined all of the jobs, we looked at the profit margins, we really dug into this. And not only were we not making the margins that we needed, there's a lot more overhead attached to this kind of work. And, you know, more warranty, more phone calls, more attention. And we just kept screwing it up. So when we dropped our residential division and focused on our commercial, things just took off. From there, we built a service department, which was really the game changer. And that's what we did, but we wouldn't have known that unless we got clarity on what we do. And that's all we do. I mean, the riches are in the niches. You know, I really believe that as you focus down on what you're good at, you become the best. If that's gutters, become the best gutter guy around and be known for that. What do you think, John? What's your, what do you build?
100%. We just did a whole podcast in the Big Roofs podcast with AJ at Proline. And we talk about our Proline customers who do a lot of services and how difficult it is to run that business versus the Proline customers who do one or two, maybe three services like gutters. Maybe they do some trim repair, something like smaller things, and how much more profitable they are and how much more efficient they are in their business. So I agree 100%. Do one or two services. I think gutters kind of go hand in hand with roofing. And they can definitely be a profit center if you're in that space. But yeah, people that do siding and windows and painting and all that other stuff, there can be some profit there. But what we have found is that you are sacrificing the quality of customer that you're working with because they are always looking for a deal. That's the first thing. If they want multiple services, they want a GC experience. They're like, well, you give me a discount because we're doing this, this, and this, and this. Even though they're direct costs for each one of those services. It's not like, well, while you're on the roof or while you're over here, can you just do this? No, no. A whole different crew that specializes in this particular service and the material still costs the same. We can't give you a discount because we just happen to be here. So you attract the wrong type of people in general. Mm-hmm. And every one of those processes are different. To install siding is different. To have like the way you bill for siding is different. The crews that you have for siding are different. The way you paint is all different. Like it doesn't make sense unless you're a medium to larger size company that really has the resources that can keep the correct staff for each one of those services. So for most people, stick with one or two things.
Jack of all trades, master of none. We find that you also, it's where do you spend your time? And that's really the lesson that we learned. You find some of these areas that, for instance, siding, they just weren't making any money on siding. And I say, well, how much time do you spend on it? He says, well, you know, we have a lot of problems. We can't get installers and so forth. And so I probably spend 50% of my time for 10, 20% of their business. So you've got to break these out. You've got to understand where you make your money and stay focused on it. Companies will grow and they'll add by adding services. You know, there's so much opportunity out there if you focus down on whatever it is, gutters. How many gutters are out there? Look at these leaf filter or something. I mean, this is a public company. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a million different services like that. That's true.
Stick with what you do well and do it really well and do more of it. Well, the next one with our customer is the who. Who do we want to work for? Who is that ideal customer? And what makes them that ideal customer? It's that one customer you wish you had 100 just like. So maybe we've got somebody that doesn't gripe about the price. Maybe somebody that pays on time. It's a pleasure to work with. These are the type of people that we want. And we've had, John, you've got a great process for requalifying all your leads, where you know who that avatar is, who your ideal customer is, and you ask the right questions in your pre-qualification surveys and discussions. So you're only working for those people that fit that description. And the others, I'm sorry, we just don't do that kind of work or whatever, refer you to this or that. And I think you had talked on the show where you actually really focused down on this, and you did, you were more selective with who you did business with, but you actually sold more work. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So as you've been talking, I've been going through, this is super important to do every year, and maybe even more than one time a year. You may think you know your like ideal customer and your avatar, but if you really look at the data, look at two things. Look at your Google reviews or any reviews that are written. Are they male? Are they female? What's their rough age? Are they, you know, are they in their 30s? Are they in their 40s? Are they in their, you need to know roughly how old they are and what they wrote on the review. Did they write one? So what I'm noticing, which is shocking to me, actually, as we were recording this, I'm looking at all the reviews. A lot of the reviews are actually female in their 50s to 60s, maybe late 40s. A lot of the actual paid and closed jobs that we did that we know we liked, I'm looking at both Athens and Savannah, they're all male. So the trend that we're having is that in general, male people reach out to us based on our marketing, obviously, and then females write the reviews. So you need to understand that you have to serve both people, but if you want to get the lead, you need to serve. I mean, it's over 80% on both markets is male, and they're definitely 45 and up, 45 to 70 year old men that generally have I'm going to guess their income is 150 and up. That's probably correct based on what I'm looking at just off the cuff. But it's a really, really important thing to understand that that's who you should be targeting. If that's who you're selling, you should continue to target those people. If you had a good experience and their spouses are writing reviews or they're writing reviews, probably just keep marketing towards those types of people. Like don't anything you do, just think about that, those types of people. And it's changed over time. It definitely was primarily female in the past, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. And so we're just seeing a trend that more men are reaching out to us. So you need to just understand that.
Mm-hmm. We had Tim Brown on the show the other day, and we talked about marketing. And if you don't know who you're marketing to, it's spray and pray. I mean, it's a shotgun. You want to be laser focused because you want to be speaking to that one person, that one ideal customer, your avatar. And you have to know that information. First off, you're only going out to see those type of customers. So your close rate is going to be much higher because you're going to be able to spend more time with that prospect, finding out what it is that they need, understanding their needs and wants, just running around in circles. I'm so busy, man. I got all these quotes. I'm just shooting them out emails and so forth. Well, no wonder your close rate sucks. One, you're speaking to the wrong people that either can't afford you or don't want your type of service or quality or whatever, perhaps. And you're spending a lot of money to go speak to the wrong type of people. So you're, again, falling and talk, what we're always talking about is work less, make more money. So if you focus down on that, those ideal prospects, you're going to sell more work in less time. So be sure you're clear on that. The next one of the customers is the where. Where are these people? Where do they hang out? And how are we going to find them? Or more importantly, how are they going to find us? And we have to know that. Are they in certain type of neighborhoods? Are there, you know, what is your area, your concentration of work? How far out will you go? Nope, too far. Don't want to work in that neighborhood. Whatever it is, we have to know that so we can really pinpoint where they are. John, we were talking about this today in the mastermind. You were working on a direct mail program, I think, that you were kind of focusing in on certain neighborhoods. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, you need to be laser focused on your marketing budget, and it should be a goal too. This is something that I've kind of learned over the past 6 months, is that you can't just spend the money that you want to spend based on where you are. You have to spend a little bit more to where you want to be, your goal. And it can't be crazy. Like, you're not just going to necessarily spend a ton extra. If you're not going to go from like 1 million to 5 million necessarily just on spending money on marketing, but having a, you know, increase in, as opposed to spending like 50,000, maybe spend 75,000 on marketing in a really, really efficient way, than a really, really planned out way to spend the extra 25,000. You need to know what you're doing with that money. Yeah, that's something that's just kind of challenged me personally, because I'm like, oh, I'm spending 5%, but I should be spending a little bit more if I want to grow a little bit more. And the postcard campaigns for like Neighborhood Blitz with Dope Marketing is a way to do that, to hit those 4x4 campaigns, which means you send 4 mailers every week for 4 weeks, or an 8x8 campaign, which is 8 weeks of mailers. So those two things are effective. You do get leads from those. If you've done a roof in a neighborhood and you send out and you notice, like I was this morning, climbed on a roof, saw a bunch of other roofs that needed to be replaced in that neighborhood. So like, probably should send out some postcards to these neighbors. And so, that's one of the ways you can spend money in marketing.
You know, Joseph Hughes, which everybody should follow with Contractor Dynamics, he's been on the show a number of times, and he writes about this a lot, where you just can't throw money at marketing and expect to have a good return on investment. That's one thing, is they don't track the return on investment. So if you don't track it, how do you know what works and what doesn't? And you want to test, you want to find out what works for your business. We talk about this all the time, you know, that it's just not across the board. We talk about what things work. For instance, Yelp. Okay. Well, out here in California, Yelp works great for a lot of contractors. Most of the country, Yelp sucks. And it just doesn't work. Don't you think, John? I mean, you know, whether it's Thumbtack or
Andy, yeah, you need to know. You need to know what works. How are customers finding you? One thing we've just added this week in ProLine, and it's not done very well in any CRM, is lead sources. You need to have a process. You definitely need to have a process in your business. The software is not just going to magically make this work, but it should be in the forefront of everyone's mind. Whoever's answering the phone, whoever is selling jobs, you need to know where you're getting your leads from. So a lead source, and there's a whole list of them on our drop-down box. So whenever Kathleen's answering the phone, or they're filling out a form, or we're putting them in ProLine, we're assigning them to a lead source. So we know where to spend money if there is money to be spent, or where to put our efforts if we're getting leads from referrals and a particular referral source, et cetera. So really important to know where your leads are actually coming from.
And what's converting into sales. You know, you can have all these leads, but, you know, you can get a lot of leads from Angie's List or any home advisor, but they're going to be crappy leads and they're not going to convert. So why do you want to put your money in that? Find out what works, what converts, where sales come from, and do more of that. But you've got to spend, and as John said, you know, we talk about, you know, rough 5% of sales is the number that you should be really looking at. And it's not 5% of what you did. It's 5% of what you want to do. What are you budgeted for this year, for instance? And what is our marketing budget, marketing plan look like? And you've got to have that plan. You've got to spend your money wisely. Otherwise, you're just throwing money away. You cannot throw money at this. You've got to be strategic and find out what works. So the last one of our customer is our why. Why would somebody want to buy from us and not our competitors? You know, we're able to sell our product for more than our competitors because of all kinds of reasons. Well, we're better than they are. We've been in business. We've got all of these various things, and you got to look at your differentiators, and there's a lot of them. And you've got to play to your strengths and understand what that is. So write all of your what makes you different and better. John, you're different than everybody else. You got a lot of differentiators.
Yeah. I mean, we always try to be different. You have to be memorable. I mean, the new brand is same thing. You've got to be different to help people remember. There's just so many things coming at us through our phones and billboards and trucks and everything all throughout the day. You've got to be different in every way you possibly can, and at least memorable in a positive way.
Yep. And our next one is the focus, what we call the focus. And these are each of these steps that kind of build out our plan. And, you know, on one page, there's not much room to write these things down that we're talking about. And there's a reason for that, because you want to be laser focused in the fewest amount of words that you can that describe what you're doing. And the next one is that focus. What you learn in business school and so forth is how to write a mission statement. Okay. So here's our mission statement and what we're all about and blah, blah, blah. Well, we did a mission statement, spent a lot of time and money on it, perfecting it. We get a big plaque, put it up in the lobby of our place. And next thing you know, nobody can remember what the hell it is. So what's the point of that? You know? So I'm a big believer of having an elevator pitch, because what an elevator pitch is really focuses you down really quick. And for those that don't know what a elevator pitch is, the idea is that you get in an elevator on the top floor, and here's the biggest property manager in town, for instance, and you've got 30 seconds, 1 minute to not only make an impression, but give him a reason why they would want to know more. Why do they ask for more? Tell me more about that. That's interesting. You know, yeah, that sounds like a service that I could use. Or are they bolting out the doors as you get down there? And, you know, so these are the things that make a good elevator pitch. And it's just short. And you got to practice this, and you should really have this down. And this is why I like this exercise. But a good elevator pitch, one, describes what the problem is. Well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that, you know, homeowners are getting ripped off all the time by shyster roofers. They're getting bad quality, you know, all of these things. So you're identifying the problem. You know, you probably don't know that all of these problems exist. And all you got to do is go to Google reviews. And I like to send our prospects to Google reviews of our competitors. And you look at the 1 and 2 star reviews, it's always some kind of communication screw up every time. And it's just, you know, oh, they didn't show up when they said they were. They didn't answer their phone. You know, they left in the middle of the job, whatever that is. So it's identifying what that problem is, and they may not be aware of it. Then the next step is how you solve that problem and how you do it better than anybody else. What makes you unique? And this is where we get into our differentiation and so forth. And we identify that. This is how we solve that problem. And the third part is just, what's the call to action? What do you want them to do? You just don't walk out and say, hey, you know, if you'd like more, we've got this booklet that talks about how to hire a roofing contractor. Here are the top 10 problems that we run into. These kind of things. And or let me get your card. I'll send this to you. I'll email this to you. And you're taking an action. You're asking for something to happen. And hopefully, if you've done this right, he's going to say, oh, yeah, that's good. There's a service that I could use. He's asking for more. John, you got a quick elevator pitch? I'll give you mine.
Go for it, Dave. What's your elevator pitch?
Well, here would be one, for example, is, you know, you may not be aware that most contractors leave a huge mess on, you know, they just trash your home and your roof leaks. That's the problem that we have. And the way that we solve it better than anybody else is we have, here are these tools that we use, one for communication. You know, we use Ruby receptionists because they answer the phones. We always answer the phones. We always return our calls the same day. And we provide great communication so you know what's going on. We use Company Cam. We're sending you photos of what's going on. We're actually taking you up on the roof. And we're going to show you these things. And this is where the value is. As I said, biggest problem is communication. Biggest complaint. You know, you're probably not aware, but roofing contractors are, I think they're the number two complained service with the Better Business Bureau. They get more complaints about roofing contractors than pretty much anything else. I think used cars sales is up there. But that's what we do. And what I'd like you to do, you know, we have this booklet that shows you how to hire a roofing contractor you can trust. And I'd like to send this to you. If you give me your card, I'll email this over to you and see what you think. I think it'll really help you in making a selection for a roofing contractor. I like that, John. I just
it's pretty good. The cuff. That's a lot of floors in the elevator.
It's like going with his watch tapping away, going, okay, what's this door gonna open so I can get the hell out of here?
A lot of times I talk to people, they ask me what I do. I said, I own a roofing company. And they're like, oh, well, that's crazy, blah, blah, blah. And then we just kind of get into what's, you know, what makes you different? Why are you in roofing? And we're like, well, if you had a roofing problem, what's more important to you when choosing company? Is it great quality or is it lowest price? And then the wheels start turning. And we say that in our pre-qualification questions. And they're like, wait, what? And they just realize that they're looking right at you and they're right there. They understand that you can't have both.
Yeah, I want both. It doesn't happen.
And so, literally yesterday we had somebody say, well, I want both. I want the best quality roof, but I want the lowest price. Like, well, and you'll follow up by saying like, well, if you're $300 more, then I'm not going to give you the chance. You got to give me the best price first. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. Then what happens is that people realize if you provide just a phenomenal proposal, phenomenal communication, you show up on time, you have well-branded trucks, you all your apparel matches, you have a staff that's communicating with that homeowner, letting them know that you're there on time. You have a photo report of the problems on the roof. You're just providing things. You're not saying words necessarily. You're communicating with pictures. We have a lot of people who say they want the lowest price and they still go with us. And we're one of the highest priced roofing contractors. So that's been my pitch kind of the whole time is getting homeowners to think, oh, I can't have both. I can't have the lowest price and the best quality. So that's been our whole thing is to break down all those objections with that one question or one thought so that they understand, okay, if it matters to you, then we're going to be the best. We know we're not going to be the cheapest and we're going to make it easy for you to pay for us, our services. So like that, we have great financing and, you know, it's just going to be that way moving forward. We're going to be the highest price and we know it. We're going to have the best crews. We take care of our guys the best. Our staff, Kathleen, Tisha, are the best. So you're going to pay for that service. You're going to pay for that warranty that we give you at the end. It's not going to be a taillight warranty. It's really important. I mean, it's become very, very clear in the past 3 days that people are just, I mean, we're talking about $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 mistakes. That they can't, they know it. They're not even trying to fight us on like, can you repair it? They know. We show them the pictures. We're like, look, you installed a roof over a roof. You got the cheapest guy out here. You had two leaks. Now you have five leaks. And the shingles look brand new. Why is this? And they're like, I know. I should have done this. And they know it. So, like, it's unfortunate because it's a really, really expensive mistake whenever people choose lowest quality, lowest price.
See, now that's interesting, you know, because it's conversational, as you said. What you want to do is have them want to ask for more. Tell me more. And like you're at a cocktail party or something or a trade event and you come up to somebody, hey, what do you do? Well, you got to be prepared for that. And this is what we're talking about. And that's the elevator pitch. Always have it dialed down. Practice it because it takes practice. And hone it down so it's quick. You know, if you've got a 30-second version, you got a one-minute version, you've got to be prepared for that. Otherwise, you're just sitting there staring into space and the guy's out of here. All right.
Yeah.
Well, our next step is our SWOT. And many of you all know what a SWOT analysis is. But it is your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So what we mean by that, our strengths. Well, John, what are the strengths of your business?
I think high level professionalism, really great website, continual online presence, growth, just excellent communication. We're going to answer our phone. Our website's going to lead you in the right direction. That's big, big strengths for us. I mean, we offer all the great warranties. It's probably some of our best strengths.
I agree. Exactly. I mean, you have a professional operation. And also, you've got a great website. Tim Brown, Hook Agency, did this. Give us your website. And you should go check out John's website. It's freaking awesome. And
it's almost done. I mean, we've got a couple more things to do, but it's peachstateroofing.com.
Oh, okay. So you already got that. Well, what am I going to get if I put in peachstateroofing.com? Am I going to get your website coming up, or is it still it's going
to
be?
If you type in peachstateroofing.com, if you type in peachstateroofing.com, you'll come to our website. Our form on the website has to be changed, so there is that. We're doing that hopefully by the end of this week, maybe January 19th, maybe it'll be done.
Well, the Delorier website was awesome, and I think you said that Tim's making a few tweaks and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, and having a good website, it's the hub of your marketing. And that's where we always want to send people back to your website. And it's your showroom. And it better be clean and tidy, you know. And the idea of a website, a good website, is, you know, you're walking down the street and you're looking in the window so you can attract all these people to come, you know, look at your site perhaps. But you need them to come inside the door. And this is where you have to have a good website where they are spending time on there. They have questions and they're looking for answers. And they come to your site and they need to come inside and you need to convert. So anyway, great website. So I would agree, great strength. Now we've got opportunities. What are your opportunities, John?
We didn't go through weaknesses, did we?
SWOT. How do you spell SWOT again?
It's hard to say. Weaknesses.
Okay. Weaknesses. Do you have any weaknesses? And why do we care? We've got to know what our weaknesses are and we got to understand all this stuff. Do you have any?
We definitely don't door knock. So as far as like canvassing and door knocking, it's really, really effective. But we've made a decision not to do that. So that is a marketing weakness that we have. Do we want to pursue that? No, but I would say like a lead flow that produces leads. Are they qualified? No, but we do struggle with consistent lead flow throughout the entire 12 months of the year. I would say that's a definite weakness. So we're trying to work on that. Ways that we're overcoming that is by even strengthening our online presence even more. So we've hired Dima. And Hook Agency, they're actually going to do a Google boost that they offer for their ongoing clients. They're going to do a bunch of directory work there, and they're going to help us have a Google boost when we launch the new website officially. And then we're hiring Dima to do 260 blog posts. So a blog post every day to help increase our organic reach. that's going to help our lead flow. So our biggest weakness is probably lead flow, and we're combating that by being aggressive with online presence.
I like it. You know, other weaknesses might be quality control, you know, production problems. Maybe we have a lot of callbacks. Maybe we have cash flow issues. We're not very good at collecting cash. I know a lot of those guys. I'm looking at the receivables. I'm going, what the hell is going on? So these are the things that you have to understand the weaknesses are. So let's see. How do you spell SWOT again? Okay, so we've got opportunities. Are there any opportunities out there?
Yeah, there are. We don't do a lot of referral partnerships. So we're working on that this year as well. It's going to help with our weakness, which is we've never really been consistent about getting referrals from insurance agents or realtors. And so we have a plan in place that we're going to execute once we do two things, a video box campaign. We're going to be meeting these individuals in person consistently on a schedule. And then we're going to do postcard and handwritten note follow-up campaigns throughout the entire year moving forward. So we're going to test that. That cost is pretty minimal, actually, as far as an investment of dollars. It's just a time and a scheduling deal that you have to just maintain with your entire team. And so every time we do something like that, we actually get leads. So we just need to continually do that.
Do we have any threats out there? How about the economy? Is that a threat? Well, yeah. You know, yeah. We're seeing fewer leads and so forth. What do you see as threats out there to your business?
Definitely slowing economy. I don't really buy into it. I think if you look at any downturn in the replacement world, it doesn't have to be roofing, it could be anything. Typically wealthier people, which is our target market. We're in the middle, upper middle class to upper class is our target market. They do well in downed economies. So I've noticed that other companies that I work for, we'd have record years in the 2008, 2009 downed economy. Record year, year after year after year. So if you're marketing yourself that way, you're just not going to have a problem. I mean, that's every 10 years when we have some sort of downturn, the best companies always succeed in a really big way. So I'm not too worried about the economy. I think the biggest threat really is not actually implementing the plans that we're talking about right now in January. Like anything.
I was gonna say that. Yep.
Like if you, it's just like any New Year's resolution. If you don't consistently implement and execute those plans, that's your biggest threat. I mean, this is truthfully an amazing opportunity, and I'm definitely guilty of not being consistent. If you're consistent with anything, you will be excellent and you will succeed. And I firmly believe that in the roofing space. If you're just consistent with these things that you know to be true, that will be helpful, you don't ever stop doing those things, you have nothing to worry about from a business perspective.
Totally agree. Example of that. We've got thousands of downloads on this one-page business plan. And I always like to follow up and say, hey, great. You know, you've had it for about a month. Have you done anything? Well, it's sitting right here on my desk collecting dust. And one of these days, I'm going to actually do something about it. You know, they downloaded it. Well, that's the easy part. How about freaking implementing some of these things and making some things happen? And this is the biggest problem we see is the lack of implementation. Everybody's got great ideas, you know. We all really know what we should be doing, but few of us actually take action and make it happen. So that's the deal, man, is take action. Okay, next we've got what we call the operation. And this is really how business works. We talk about this all the time, is that you have to sell work, you have to do work, and you have to keep score. It's a three-legged stool. Those are the legs of the stool. And you have to keep that stool strong and in balance. And when you think about it, that's your entire business. You've got to sell work. Well, we've got to sell work. We've got to have lead generation. We've got to do marketing, all of those things. So now we've sold this work. Well, that's great. But we have to have the production to do the work. And a lot of times, you know, like in the past, we've had a lot of sales. That hasn't been the problem. The problem has been reduction, getting the work on. We get backlogged. We get, you know, guys that quit on us all the time. And, you know, it's the same old problem. So we could have, you know, or we've got the production, we've got the sales, we've got the production, but our scorekeeping, our bookkeeping department, we don't get the bills out. We don't, you know, we're behind. So all of a sudden now we've got this big cash flow problem. We're not job costing our jobs. So we don't know if we're making money or not. And this is where a lot of contractors are. I mean, if you're not job costing your jobs, you're not going to be successful. I mean, we can look at most every successful roofing contractor. And if you ask them, do you job cost? Of course we do. How else would we know what works and what doesn't, what problems we're having? And that's why we do a job. We have a post-mortem. We look at it. We look at what the estimate was. We look at what the actual was. And then we have a variance. What's that variance? Well, focus on the variance. You know, the things that we're missing over and over again. We had this problem at one of our sales guys. His materials were constantly 10% off. And it's like, what? You can't measure the roof? So we had to make adjustments for that. But I wouldn't have known that if we weren't job costing. So, John, thoughts about that?
I job cost all the time. I'm actually job costing as we're speaking. I'm job costing our average. I really am. I'm writing this down because this is helping me prompt of our goals for the year in my own business plan and what's realistic when I'm bringing on clay and what we should be shooting for and what we should be. Because my biggest things are, the question was asked in one of the Facebook groups recently. What are your like biggest KPIs that you track? And that's changed over time. We track different key performance indicators. Well, for me right now, it is three big things. So it is number one, are we hitting our target for pre-qualified ProLine proposals being sent out every day? Are we doing that? Because if we have a pre-qualified proposal going out, and we know that we close, we close like 40%. But if we close at 1 out of 3, 33%, that's a pretty conservative number as far as close rate. But let's say we close at 33. So if we do 450 proposals, we're going to sell 150 roofs. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing we track. The second thing we track is our profit margin. Are we hitting our minimum profit margin? And that's tracked again, every single job with job costing. In ProLine, we want to make sure we're doing budgets before the job, and then our actuals are getting reconciled with Tisha at the end of the job to make sure we're hitting those numbers.
And this is gross profit we're talking about.
Gross profit. We talk about gross profit. And I've been going down into the rabbit hole as you've been talking about what it really looks like after commission, going through our actual overhead. I've gone through line by line our overhead as we've been discussing this. Trying to get it down to about a couple $100 on average of what our monthly nut is, our overhead is. And the final KPI that I track is it really drives me to see my team make money. So I want to track their personal income. I want both. I want a minimum. I know this is different for different people, but I want a minimum of $10,000 a month for both of my sales guys. That's a number that can be higher or lower for wherever you're at. But on average, I want them to make 120 grand in the South. That's a really good income. It'll be, you know, probably double what they're both of those guys. I mean, it definitely is more. It's almost triple what Cameron was making, and it's probably 30% higher than what Clay was making. I want them to be successful. I want them to be feel good about what they do. Not just the money, but the systems that we have in place that they actually enjoy their job. It's a hard job, but I want it to be simple for them. I want them to work hard, but understand that we are making it as easy as possible that we can with Kathleen and Tisha and ProLine.
You know, and you just summed it up right there of what we're talking about, the three-legged stool. We've got to sell work, do work, keep score. Well, you're tracking your KPIs. So you are tracking your close rates. Where are those leads coming from? So you're selling more work, less time. We want to improve our close rate. Now, then we're going to do the work. Well, that's our gross profit. Are we running these jobs profitably? Because, you know, we call it slippage. So just say your jobs aren't, you're having slippage on the job. It's basically money that's just bleeding out of the job. And that can happen in all kinds of places. And, you know, if you can get an extra 5 points, you know, on a job and you're doing $2, $3, $4 million, you know, we're starting to talk about some real money. And you can do that. And this is why, but you know, if you don't track it, you know, what the hell? But there's money to be, you know, and that's why I always say the money's made in the sale, and production's job is responsible for keeping that profit, holding that profit where it should be. And but the money, you've already made the sale. Hopefully you've charged a lot of money for the job and you've sold it. But now we have to install it. And if we've got dollars leaking, you know, it's crazy. I want to squeeze every dollar I can out of a job. You know, this is just a side note. Sorry, trying to make this quick, but as a side note, some of our contractors have a large backlog. You've got a bird. These are birds in the hand. Okay.
It's such a problem. It's such a free. Unless you live in an ice climate, which a lot of guys do never brag about that. Never brag about more than a 3-week backlog because of weather is crazy or it's the summertime. Your prices are so low that I promise you, I can just look at each job and be like, you could do half of this work and have half a backlog and you would be making so much more money. And they just like, no, we're busy. Busy does not equal profit. Busy does not equal profit. So many times over and over again. I know. Here's the big dilemma. Salespeople are compensated on sales. And that's the problem. That's what we go by. This is a whole another rabbit hole. But revenue is not what we need to be focusing on. That's what salespeople focus on. I mean, I've seen it yesterday. A sales guy was like, revenue is all that matters. Everything else is crap. That's what he said. He literally said it. Either he's a fool or he's trolling us, because it's just like the dumbest thing you could ever think of. And that's directly from a salesperson. Like, they want to make personal income, but that's the worst way to, and profit sharing plans too. They're absolutely idiotic for most people. There are great companies out there that do 10-50-50 really well. There are, but it is way over 95% of them don't work out because people don't understand how to sell the right amount of profit. It's just you it's a terrible thing to compensate somebody that way. And either one of those compensation plans, it is absolutely terrible to get that kind of backlog. You're just not making any money. You're just not. It's a foolish way to operate your business.
You got a 2-month backlog, you're too cheap. You're giving your work away. Where you want to have a shorter backlog that you can get to these jobs, and you're turning them, and you're keeping happy customers. If you've got a customer that's, you know, not going to get their job done for 2 months, a lot of these people are going to drop off, and that's what
happens. And I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. We live in nice climates. We talk about the weather all the time.
Yep.
So anyone listening, if you live in a snow climate, which there are a lot of you, we're not talking about you. We're talking about most people should never have most people in the warm climate should never have an 8-week backlog.
Right.
You need to get more qualified crews, or you need to raise your prices 10% at least. It's very, very clear that if you have that much of a backlog, you should, or your crews are going too slow. Like, that is bottom line. Even if you live in Florida and you got to do a one day job, takes 4 days for your freaking inspectors to come. You need to have more efficient crews. Like, it is very clear. I try to help my new crews out to understand, guys, you can triple your income if you'll just do this. Hey, show up to the job site. Don't show up at 8:30 in the morning. I've been here for 3 hours. If you just get here early, do the job, you'll finish in 1 day. You'll make all the money in 1 day. Oh, they'll be like 2.5 days into it. I'm like, you understand how much you've reduced your income, and the company has to hire another crew that exactly. You don't. So now in those 3 days, we had to have three different crews to make less money. All three crews are making less money. So you, you got to help the crews out as well. It's just, there's so many layers to that, but you need to be doing most roofs in one day.
Now, if you do have a backlog or any backlog, the important thing is communication, as so many of these things come down to. Because if you've spent the money to get a good lead, to go out and make the presentation, actually sell the job, and you have one of those customers drop off because they're sick and tired of waiting, or, hey, I never heard from you. You know, I just had somebody else come do the job because I didn't even know if you guys are still in business. It's crazy. So the backlog, you want to stay in constant communication with these customers and let them know where they are on the schedule and so forth and what's happening and making sure that they're okay with that. That's the first thing. The second thing is we've got a backlog. I'm going to look at each one of those jobs. As I say, how do we squeeze some extra dollars out of those jobs? Because we've already sold them, bird in the hand. How do we maximize the profit on the jobs? And this is why I like to go through each job with our contractors, say, let's take a look at these things. You know, are they profitable? Some of these, you know, hold it. You know, we've had price increases and you haven't passed these on, you know, you haven't had protection for this. What's the deal? You know, and this is where, you know, when you look at just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 points on your gross profit margin, we're talking a lot of dollars, man, a lot of money that's should be flowing down to that bottom line. So enough about said about that. Our next one is the process, what we call the process. And this is our famous 2-week vacation. Okay. So this is what you want to build your business about. If you're a contractor and let's say, hey, you just want a free trip to Hawaii, but you have to leave next Wednesday, most contractors would say, there's no way I could do that. My business would fall apart. Well, as we said, you don't have a business then. You've got a job. You've got to be able to take time off. And this is where we started with our why, with our destination. This is what's so important, where really every contractor needs to have this, because you have to be able to take time off and have this business running on all 8 cylinders, you know, whether you're there or not. And that's building a good business. If you can't do that, your business has no value to an outside buyer. Everybody went, oh yeah, I want to get my business rolled up. Well, you're the business. There's nothing else there. If you're gone, the business falls apart. Well, that's crazy. So what we have to do is we have to look at that 3-legged stool. And we have to balance this out and make sure we've got the right process, first off, or the right position. This is side note again. You've got to have an org chart, okay, organization chart of what you have in your business. And so often we have overlapping, you know, I'm going, well, what the hell is this guy doing? Oh, it does this. I thought this guy did that. Oh, well, yeah, they kind of do it back and forth. And it's a mess. And, you know, we talk about how when business is booming, you tend to throw people at positions. So you've got all of these, all this ugly overhead that you're just, you know, throwing money away, right? I mean, John, you got a lean, mean roofing machine there. How do you have your org chart set up?
I'm literally going through this right now on paper. So org chart.
See how beneficial this.
I'm learning. Process, I'm learning as we're talking. Yeah, it is a process. Important. It's going through my goals and realizing like different overhead expenses that we have. Org chart, Kathleen. It's actually on our proposals. Chris DeRoll actually creates a really cool org chart of expectations for a customer. To like go through each one of those things. I'm going to keep talking about it. I know what you're about to say. Chris DeRoll gets
I had a call scheduled with Chris DeRoll. 10 minutes before he says, The whole house has got COVID. I got to cancel. I'm like,
oh, yeah. He told me that. Yeah.
What a bummer. Oh, geez. So anyway, yeah. Great guy though. But anyway, didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
But he understands the org charts, and he understands not just you understanding your own organizational chart of how your company, like the roles for each person in your company. He understands that you need to communicate that to your homeowner. It's really important because people don't, they're confused. They're who's going to be calling me? How many people are going to be calling me? What to expect at this part of the process? That it's really good to put a name with a face and the face to part of the process. Like they see Tisha's face, they see her name, and then she sends them an invoice at the end of the job. Like that's a great experience for them. They're going to write a 5-star review because they're like, who's Tisha? Is she? I mean, we've had people text us before when we didn't do this. Hey, is this a scam or is this you? Like, what are you talking about? Like, same name. We just did your roof. We just invoiced you. So, I mean, there's a lot of scams out there. So you just need to overly communicate. We're sending you an invoice right now. It's going to be Tisha. She's going to be doing this. Kathleen's the one answering the phone. Kathleen's the one that's responding to website forms or any other lead forms. You know, you've got one of the outside salespeople and their faces and names, depending on where you are located, they're there. And then you've got production management. You understand who's going to be communicating to you during the production part of the process. So you've got to communicate all that, not just within your organization. You need to communicate that to the homeowner as well.
Be clear who's doing what, and you don't need all these people. And this is where automations come in, you know, and that's why ProLine is so awesome. We keep talking about ProLine, which you definitely want to check out. We're giving all these plugs out to all these guys. I mean, you know, Tim Brown, this guy should be sponsoring our show. Anyway, this is how we have to look at this, and we have to look at our business on what are the pieces, the strategic pieces that go into this. And what you have to have is, one, we have to be clear on the position. What is that position? How is we going to do that? What does a good job look like? Okay. They have to understand that. That's they need to know. And then what are their expectations? Okay. And then we've got to hold them accountable for that, whether we're there or not. Okay. And this is how you build out a business to sell. And we talk about from day one, we build a business to sell. Not that we necessarily need to sell it, but we have options then. We can have somebody run it for us. We can go, you know, sit at the beach. We can pass it on to our kids. We can find a buyer because there's value there in a business that has all the processes, has all, you know, the people and the accountability to get the job done. And that's how we want to run our business. Don't you think, John? These 2-week vacations. Shit, I'm sitting out here skiing in Vail right now and, you know, taking my 2-week vacation.
Over the past few weeks, I've really prioritized. I have a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and it's going to be over soon. So having that ability to spend time with those kids and my wife and not, you know, in 10 years, look up and Luke's graduated high school. Like it's really, really important. And I know it's happening because he turned 8 and it felt like 2 seconds. So I know the next 10 years is going to be the same thing. So yeah, it's really important. I would rather all this planning for business is great, but I am willing and I'm definitely erred on the side of sacrificing business over getting to have these times with my kids. I was telling somebody in the gym today, like I've changed way more diapers than my wife has. I put the kids to bed. I get them up in the morning. I get to do those things. And a lot of people don't have the opportunity. Another reason why, it was part of my why, is because you just can't get it back. It's there. It's time is our only commodity. I want to do great things. I want ProLine to grow really well. I want Peach State Roofing to grow. I want our entire team to win. But I also want to focus and not lose sight of the time that I have is so limited.
I can see that trophy right behind you for Father of the Year. You know, it's
I don't know about that.
Yeah. It is so important though. And that's our why, just as you said, we have to know why we're doing this, what we really want, and we have to be strategic to get us there, to get us to that end, that destination. That's what we're talking about. That's what all of this is about. Okay, next one. I've only got a couple more here and we'll wrap up. But the next one is called the action. And I call it the one thing. What is the one thing that is going to move the needle in your business and really make a difference? You know, we can do our to-do list and we've got 1,000 things. And this is where everybody gets overwhelmed. We don't know where to start. We don't know how to prioritize. So it's the one thing. What's the one thing that you can do right now? It's not the only thing, but it's the one thing that you should focus on that's going to make a difference in your business. John, you know what I'm talking about? What do you got? You got a one thing?
I mean, focus on the one thing that I can do is get up early and plan my days out way better and way more consistently. That seems like a small thing, but I've been waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is, or 6:15 ish or something like that. And just maybe getting up a little bit earlier and making sure that I get what I need to get done before the craziness happens in the day. Mm-hmm. And I know people work out that time sometimes, but I actually choose to work out at 11:30 a.m. so that I can get the other stuff done. But I think that's the one thing I need to focus on the whole year. It's just making sure that I'm up early. I go to bed early too. I need to make sure I go to bed early, get sleep, so I'm actually functional. So in the morning, I get up early before anything's happening and able to help my team and first basically predict issues and create processes or systems or create a Loom video to help with something that we may have struggled with. Those things are I've been doing in the evening and afternoons, but I need to be starting my day as earlier, just a little bit earlier, and being really, really effective and efficient with my time there. That's the one thing that I'm going to be focusing on in the next year.
Because you're prioritizing what you need to do. I mean, you can make a big list. These are the things I'm going to do today. And you know damn well you're not going to get them done. But, you know, what's if you just did these one, maybe two things.
If I write down three things, mm-hmm. I feel like I win the day. Obviously, my to-do list is really long. It's always like 50 things, 30 things. But if I, for that day, I know I'm going to do these three things and I win the day, it's a huge, huge mental bump, and it actually moves the needle in all aspects of my life. Like it will help my professional life, personal life. I can do those things. I think everyone should at least do that. Pick three things that they know they have to do and just focus on those three things. And then if you get them done early, then fine. Do the rest of the things on your to-do list. But I think it's a really, really effective tool and effective process. When I do it, and I have done it in the past, but just not consistently enough, that's a really effective way to live.
I like it. You know, I'm going to throw in this one additional step because this is something that I'm going to put into the plan because it's so important. And it's just a huge problem that I see right now because we're doing planning, and this is what we do. So if you need help with building out a business plan, you know, get in touch with us. It's so important, but you want to have this thing done. I mean, you know, why get, you know, oh, get around to it. And here it is mid-year. And then you're trying to come up with a plan. What's already happened, man? I mean, this stuff's in the rearview mirror. We're talking about looking through the windshield. Okay. What's ahead? What's going to happen? How do we plan for that? But speaking of rearview mirror, we have to know where we are, where we stand. And this is the part that I want to add. And this comes down to knowing our numbers. And we've got to have good financial data, a financial statement. I can't believe all the contractors that, well, one, their bookkeeping is so screwed up, you know, that you can't really make any sense out of where money's being made and so forth. So that's the first thing is you've got to have that cleaned up. And that's what we do. We have, and Tisha's great at this, does a cleanup of your QuickBooks, getting things in the right order, where we can see what's happening, making sure that we've got our direct job costs in the right spot above the line. And we need to talk about this, make sure that that's there. This is how you're pricing your jobs, okay? Is you're marking up your direct costs. So what does the job cost? And if you don't know what that job cost, you're marking it up the wrong way. You could be losing all this money. And, you know, a lot of things we see, insurance that should, you know, workers' comp insurance should be above the line charged to the job. And this is really important. So when we're looking at our financial statements, we have to look at, well, what happened? What's going on? I like to look at the last 3 years. That's what I want to see. What are the trends? What's going on? Where are the problems that I see? What does the cash look like? You know, I'm going to look at the balance sheet. Having that just dialed in, and that's where Tish is awesome. I mean, we've got the year end on all our clients. I mean, you know, here it is, middle of January, and we've already got accurate information. We know what happened. So we can say, here we are. This is great. Now, there's nothing we can do about it. It's already happened. But we need to know where we are and what we have to work with so we can move forward. But that's in the rearview mirror now. We're looking through the windshield. So I got to put that in somewhere, because you really have to start there at the beginnings somewhere. It's not before the end, but it's got to be in there, because we got to know what's going on. Are we making money or not? And I get contractors, oh yeah, I'm making money. Well, yeah, maybe your net looks pretty good, but you haven't taken a salary in 3 years. You know, I mean, it's so that evaluation has to be made. You have to understand the reality of where we are. John, agreed?
Totally agreed, Dave.
Thank you. All right, our last one. Finally, we're done. I call this the view. Okay, and this is so important. You don't think so now, but when you're older, you know, like in my situation, you know, I sold my business, retired. It's important, and it's called a view. And it's, do you like what you see? And I talk, you know, hey, we made it to the mountaintop. This is what we wanted to do. And I talked to these contractors that are in the roll-ups and so forth. You know, why are you doing this? You know, you better understand what it's going to look like and the structure of this deal. And now, are you working for some pencil neck that's just grinding you along, when your whole why of starting your business was to have the freedom to do what the hell you want? Well, that's not how it ended up. So you got to be clear on what you want it to look like at the end. You know, you retire. You know, I know a lot of contractors, they retired. Now they say, oh God, I can't wait to, you know, relax, be at home. Well, you're driving the spouse crazy. And they say, get the hell out of here. Or you don't have any hobbies and you're bored. I see this all the time, because all you had was your business. And, or they miss the action, you know, believe it or not. So they're griping about it the whole time. But you have to, here you are at the top of the mountain. Do you like what you see? And so many, not just contractors, but people that, you know, they're just, oh, I just want to get to that pot of gold, the retirement. They don't think about what it's going to look like. What am I going to do all this time? You know, oh yeah, I want to go travel. Well, can I do so much of that, you know? And it's very important. So this is when we talk about our circle, you know, this is comes full circle, starting off at the end, you know, we start off there and now we've got the view. Well, did this all make sense? Did we have a good flow? Are we achieving our end, our goal, our why, as John's talking about? How do you like that one? You know, you got a lot of long time to go, but it's just like our kids. It goes by fast. And if you don't plan accordingly, you're gonna miss out. This is, you know, like selling your business. Okay. Good example. Everybody thinks their business is worth all this money and I'm going to sell my business and, you know, boom, 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 there's going to be all these buyers out there and I'm going to retire. Well, it doesn't happen. 95% of businesses get to the end and there's no value there. So they end up closing the doors and there's nothing. So you've got to plan this, have a well-planned out plan, because it takes about 5 years to really prepare your business for sale. And it takes a long time to build it into something that people want to buy. John, what do you think?
Preach, Dave, preach.
Thank you. Well, I don't know how much time we took, but I tried to keep it pretty focused. I learned a lot from you, John, I'll tell you, and we all can from everybody, because it's that process going through that and over, because I know that we've done this for, six, 7 years or so.
If this ever makes it to video, look at all the work that I just did.
Look at that.
I just did all that work while we're talking, and it really, really helps. Like, if you're listening to this, do the business plan. We just spent over an hour, and there's a lot of important decision-making you have to decide. I mean, we have to hit 35% gross profit. That's a thing. We have to do it. It can't just be a goal we want to do. Yeah, we're going to leverage some things on some super large jobs. But I'm just learning this about my business right now. I'm learning that we have to hit a certain number of roofs to hit our average ticket. Like, you got to know these numbers. You got to know like your average tickets. You have to know your numbers to be able to even have these goals. So maybe you're not like that far down the road, but you need to at least start with a guess and then track it in the CRM electronically so that you know. Not what you feel, not what you feel like your favorite avatar customer is, not what you feel like your average gross ticket is. You need to know it for real. And if you have that information, I am not a numbers guy. I am not a detailed oriented person, but I know that you have to have this information for real. You can't feel a certain way so that you can actually set realistic goals for yourself and for your team.
Reach it yourself. I like that. I'm glad that you were writing down notes about this conversation and so forth, because I thought you were down there doing your Wordle or something. I'm like, hey, pay attention, man. Come on.
The entire time I was just writing about the next thing we're talking about.
I like it, man. So hopefully you get value out of this, because it is really important. It covers a lot of area. You've got to have a plan, and it doesn't have to be all numbers and so forth. You do have to have that. You have to have a financial budget. But what we're talking about is, really kind of setting this business up. It runs smoother. You're not going to be complaining about, wearing all the hats, not having any time, running around doing all these things, can't get good employees, all the gripes that everybody has that are just going to keep, you're stuck in the mud. You're not going to go anywhere. You have to not only have a good plan, but you have to act on it. You have to implement. You have to take action. John, take us home with some last words.
Play the drums, Tom Reber. Keep going. When in January of 2024, do the plan. Go. That's it.
It's going to be a good year. And if you guys need help with this, as I say, that's what we do. We do planning. We do coaching. We can help you improve your business. Just go to theroofershow.com contact page, big blue button. Click that, take you to my calendar. We can set up a half hour strategy call, see what you're up to, what your business is about, and see if we can help you.